uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. We are going to be getting into some various news items here for you on the broadcast tonight, as well as continuing to read from the Lost Book of Inky. We're going to pick up where we left off last night, page 111, so we're, again, going to be covering some news as well. We'd love to have emails from you, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. It's globalrealityshow@gmail.com, and if you want to send an email in tonight, I don't have any email to cover tonight, but if you want to send one in for a question or a comment or anything else, that's where you send it, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. And my website where this broadcast originates from is, of course, Global Reality Show. TheGlobalReality.com. It's www.TheGlobalReality.com. And you'll find links to listen to the stream up there. You'll find the chat room. Lots of crazy fuckers in the chat room tonight. What's up, you fuckers? And you can find everybody in there hanging out, chilling tonight, as well listening to the broadcast. So thanks so much for being with us. Also there at my website, theglobalreality.com. We also have the Achievement Banner. Tomorrow's our last day for the fundraiser for the month. So we got very very close to meeting our goal so far, thanks to your help. And we just need your help to get the rest of the way and get all the way there. So if anybody out there can help us out and get us pushed forward to that, over the threshold to get that done tomorrow, that would be super, and we would be able to continue operating. So thanks to everybody out there who has donated and has supported us, and we hope you'll continue to do so and tell people about what we're trying to do here with the show and the films, and trying to just, you know, add another voice, you know, some, get some representation here for people who are like us. You know, we're of a different tribe than the rest of what mainstream culture has set up as this artificial tribe. We're of a different tribe, and you know, we're lucky enough to find each other sometimes. That's why, you know, people in the chat room a minute ago were having a conversation, you know, well, you know, this, you know, this and that, and people tell you you're crazy and all the rest of this. But it's, you know, it's anytime you seem to figure out, or not even figure out sometimes, a lot of us, a lot of you out there, myself included, have always sort of been outside of that accepted mainstream stuff. You know, we were always the nerds and the geeks and the, you know, and the bookworms and all that. I mean, that's, you know, we're sort of that. That's sort of who we are. And we weren't all thought this way by accident. You know, we're chosen to incarnate as this for a purpose that will be defined probably outside of this current incarnation. So that's why you meet a lot of people who are very similar and come from similar backgrounds and seem to find this type of stuff A lot of people listen to the same type of music. It's just very odd, you know. I mean, every time I listen to Megadeth or Rush, I'm just like, my God, I understand why I got into this stuff now. It's, you know, all it's there in all those lyrics of those songs, you know. But subsequently, when I was listening to those bands, it was right around the time when I was, you know, 16 or so in high school, and I was had first read Jim Marr's book Crossfire, and then right after I'd read the book, they came out with the movie JFK by Oliver Stone. So, you know, during that time, being a young teenager and stuff, and just learning how to play guitar, you know, Megadeth and Rush were like the two biggest things I was listening to all the time. So that's why, you know, I sort of, what I play here on the show and what I play on the network kind of harkens back to that. I always, everything that I play on this network kind of reflects different things that I like. Sometimes, you know, I'll play a bunch of Rush, or I'll play a bunch of Megadeth, or I'll even play Metallica, even though I fucking hate those fags, but they put out some good music that was all written by Dave Mustaine, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, I like to play stuff on the network that kind of reflects the different stuff I'm into. So I think that we were all, you know, all the sort of the people that were kind of, you know, brainy and nerdy and, you know, if you're a redhead ginger like me, kind of pale, you know, you probably, you know, fell into that category whether you wanted to or not. So, it's no accident we're all here. It's no accident we're all finding this information. It's no accident that a lot of us are the ones that are on the forefront of bringing this to people. None of this is an accident, you know. The only accident happens is when you ignore these kind of signs and signals that being involved in some way, shape, or form about getting the message out of this isn't your true calling. I think all of you who have found my broadcast and listen to me on a regular basis, it is your calling to do whatever you can to get out the word about the real levels of this information that go beyond what they're told by the gatekeepers and the so-called truth community, so-called freedom community, and you know, those these guys wouldn't even know how to spell those words. You know, it's more important. There's just so many layers to it, and there's so many barriers that are there. So our work is doubly increased in being difficult and important by the fact that we have to break through multiple layers. It's not just that we're having to break through the layers of mainstream consciousness. We're also having to break through the layers of people who do unplug from mainstream society, do unplug from culture in a large way many times, and then fall into another phony paradigm. Because it's easy to fall into, because it still seems like it's outside of the mainstream paradigm with which most of us are existing in. And, you know, you'll think back through your life. You know, you'll think back, well, why was I always the person that was, you know, always wanted to watch independent films that everybody else wanted to watch, you know, mainstream Hollywood blockbusters, and I never liked those kind of films, you know, even though I didn't really know anything about information or anything. But how come that was the case? You know, people say that to me all the time. Or, you know, how come I always hated mainstream music, but I always liked underground music, but I didn't know anything about the New World Order or anything? And why is that? Well, you know, again, those of us who are the freaks have manifested here in these incarnations for a reason. And I think the people at the highest levels, they know that. They know that, and they're scared of us. That's why they created this culture where people like us who are different are looked down upon or medicated or, you know, or they just make up sheer lies about us when we're in school. Like, I mean, they did that to me. And then my parents always believed that the teacher didn't believe me and said I was lying about it. It's unbelievable. They do that kind of stuff. They would tell my, they would say I didn't do my homework when I did. All this kind of stuff. They just make stuff up. They made my life a living hell, the teachers did, because they knew I was different. So all of us have that, you know. That's what brings us all together here. And so if you have, you know, if you have situations in your life that you feel are impeding your ability to be able to take part in doing your part to do something to help encourage getting the word out about this stuff, maybe you want to think about readjusting that. You know, life is too short. If you feel your calling is to get involved and do something, then do it, man. Don't let anybody or anything hold you back. We just don't have a choice anymore. And, you know, it's really time to start getting in this information, start bringing ourselves to another level of what we will allow ourselves to believe. That's another important thing we all have to do. I mean, just because you think you've leveled up and you've sort of gotten your mind able to think on a high level now, don't get comfortable there. Don't think you can just rest on your laurels and stay right there. No, 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 no. There's always more levels and more levels and more levels and more levels. And right now, everything is happening at such an exponential rate. It's happening so fast that things are going to transpire and happen faster than we have allowed ourselves to become acclimated to the believability of. You understand what I mean? What I mean by that more accurately is, well, like 9/11. No, I don't think anybody except a handful of people would ever have thought something like 9/11 would have happened. So we have to start thinking about those kind of things. That's the kind of level of things that sort of, oh my God, I would have never imagined that would happen. That's the kind of levels that we're going to start seeing a lot of. Whether it be from the threat of asteroid card or the threat of aliens card, there's something going on with the aliens front. We know that. What it is exactly, we don't know. There's a few stories. I got a weird story here tonight. Kind of pertains to that we'll talk about. But again, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. It's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. Again, the chipping banner is there at the website, theglobalreality.com. We have to meet the rest of that goal, so please help us meet that if you can, folks. I've got an email here from Lori. She says, she's sending me a video. It says, check this out. It's worth going through all five parts, but I'm just sending you part five. Check out the little carvings of people with reptile heads. There are many other artifacts in this series I've never seen. Even though this interview is done from Project Avalon, it's still interesting. Hope that doesn't go to your spam mail. Came across this because of the link I sent you with the vids in it the other day. Enjoy, Lori. Okay, yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of that stuff. Reptile, I mean, they had those statues. If you've never seen the alien reptilian statues, spaceman statues that date to the Ubaid period of ancient Sumeria, ancient Iraq, pre-Sumeria, Ubaid. U, letter U, B-A-I-D. That's what period they go back to. And they're these reptilian alien statues. They were stolen out of the Iraq National Museum during the invasion of Baghdad in 2003. Where'd they go? You know, why are they important if they're just fictitious little things? And why aren't we allowed to see them? I mean, one of them has a Masonic apron on. It's just unbelievable stuff. So, yeah, that stuff's everywhere, Lori, but I'll definitely check out that video when I'm not on air. I can't really watch it while I'm doing a show here, but thank you anyway. Oh, let's see. Let's see what else we have here tonight. UFO, Stargate, or just a ballistic missile? Mysterious bubble-like light seen, light burst seen over Hawaii. Now, this coming just days after these alleged videos of UFOs over London, all this other talk about stuff. I mean, every day we've had different UFO videos, all different UFO, not just videos, but also reports. And almost every day something different is coming out about this. But this is an interesting one. It says that footage of this incredible bubble-like burst in the night sky was captured by cameras at an astronomical observatory in Hawaii. Sky watchers have been flooding internet forums with speculation about the burst filmed by a webcam mounted on the Canada-France-Hawaii telescope at Mauna Kea. Captured in time-lapse footage, the glowing sphere takes several minutes to expand until it virtually fills the frame. Then it vanishes as mysteriously as it disappears. Now, to me, it looks like some kind of energy bubble opening up. I don't know. It rapidly expands, forming a circular shell, which grows as it travels to the bottom. It could be a space-based weapon, a discharge from some sort of, technology to shoot down extraterrestrial craft. I don't know. But they seem to be being very tight-lipped on what it was. Again, citing internet forums, the blog speculates that the burst could have been caused by changes in the missile's third stage detonating to kill its thrust as it arcs across the Earth at a predetermined moment. Ports in the sign, they're saying, oh, it was a missile. Now they're saying it was a Minuteman Minuteman IV intercontinental ballistic missile launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base on Wednesday, June 22nd, 2011. So a Minuteman IV ICBM. Now, why would they be launching an intercontinental ballistic missile from Vandenberg Air Force Base? Let's look up one of these. The LGM-30 Minuteman is a U.S. nuclear missile, a land-based intercontinental ballistic missile. As of 2010, the LGM-30 Minuteman is the only land-based ICBM in service in the United States. So that was an intercontinental. So we launched an intercontinental ballistic missile. At what? I mean, obviously, we didn't launch it at another country. I think we probably would have heard about that, right? So what did we launch it at? Something outside of our atmosphere? A UFO? A craft? I mean, is that what all this alien talk is going on? I mean, are they indeed fighting a secret space war right now as we speak and maybe have been for some time, as some people have speculated? Could be. Could be. Wouldn't surprise me. Could it all be fake? Could it all be staged? Could be, yeah. That's the whole point. We got to be looking at every possibility here. We can't just say, well, I think it's this and that's it, and I'm not going to entertain any other ideas. We have to look at every possibility. And you have to throw disbelief to the wind, because if you think for a second these guys won't do anything, they got you. If you can dream it, they can do it. If you can dream it, they got it. And with all this information coming out, and people now, more people than ever now, asking questions about things like, you know, black op technology and, you know, holographic technology, blue beam stuff, and weather weapons and HARP and chemtrails. It's so surprising now we're seeing more propaganda and more disinformation being put out there more than ever, especially in a lot of stuff like chemtrails. Now, I'll put a picture in a chat room, and I know that many of you out there have seen pictures like this. Many of you have taken pictures like this. Many of you have seen stuff like this yourself when you looked at the sky. And I want to put that in the chat room first before I read the title of this article. This has got to be, I've got to say, we have a winner.
Ladies and gentlemen, your 2011 Global Reality Biggest Piece of Propaganda of the Year Award goes to
the Daily Mail for how aircraft make rain and snow and influence local weather when they land and take off. Womp, womp. Folks, they have now let us know that after all these years of having aircraft, they have now been able to determine by what method or what technology or anything else. They don't tell you in this article, unfortunately. That'd be kind of nice. But apparently now we have now been able to determine that airplanes, when they land to take off, actually can change the weather and make it snow or rain just from landing and taking off. Boy, that's magic. And y'all are probably chuckling right now, going, oh, Josh, he's so funny. He's making this up. You know, I really wish I was making that up right now. I really wish I was. Read them and weep. There's the link. It's in the chat room. My God. This has got to be the biggest piece of fucking
horseshit, motherfucker. Ah, damn, this shit sucks.
That I've ever seen. Living near airports might not only lead residents to suffering sleepless nights, it could also have terrible weather. For aircraft, increase the chances of snow and rain when they take off and land. An extraordinary study suggests. So again, ladies and gentlemen, chemtrails, you don't have to worry about that. They're not spraying anything up there, but planes have this magic ability to be able to make it snow or rain just by landing and taking off, just by being there, just by their sheer presence. My goodness, that explains it all. Now, yeah, yeah, now anybody, these idiots try to tell me about these chemtrails, I'm just going to tell them to suck my cock. That's right. My goodness, thinking these chemtrails are real and the government is spraying things on us. We live in the United States of America, sir. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave. Don't you dare say anything about America. We wouldn't spray things on people here. Ooh, you're going to a FEMA camp, bitch. What happened to that guy? My goodness. Well, luckily, those are getting fewer and far between. This stuff's affected everybody. Now everybody's going, oh, yeah, we're fucked. Wow, huh. Maybe those guys weren't jokesters after all. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable piece of propaganda there. And you know, we've seen all these similar stories too. They're going out of their way to also now try and change what we believe about where mankind came from. Well, maybe we didn't evolve exactly how we told you did. Yeah, remember that, what we told you in school? Yeah. Well, it turns out we may have been off just a little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, it turns out maybe that there weren't any Homo erectuses around by the time mankind came into being. They were extinct for like 100,000 years before that. Oh my God, no. What does that mean? It's like, oh, well, why are they allowing this to drizzle out now? What's the modus operandi behind this? What are they pushing now? What are they trying to sell us now here? You know? Unbelievable. Out of Africa, new theory throws doubt on assumption all humans evolved from the continent. Scientists have thrown doubt on a key theory of human evolution after discovering an ancestor of modern man may have become extinct earlier than previously thought. Homo erectus was widely considered to be a direct ancestor of our own species, Homo sapiens. The two were believed to have once coexisted alongside each other until now. Homo erectus migrated out of Africa around 1.8 million years ago, but by around 500,000 years ago, it had vanished from Africa and much of Asia and was until now thought to have survived in Indonesia until as recently as 35,000 years ago. Early modern humans reached the region about 40,000 years ago and so were believed to have coexisted with their ancestors. The new research suggests the assumption was wrong, and Homo erectus disappeared long before the arrival of Homo sapiens in Asia. New excavations and dating analysis indicate that Homo erectus was extinct by at least 143,000 years ago and perhaps more than 550,000 years ago. So, what are they trying to say? That if he was extinct that long ago and wasn't here, that we indeed didn't evolve from him? So, then where did we come from? Dun, 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 dun. Now you know why they've been showing all this stuff and talking about it on Ancient Aliens. As mainstream as you can get right there on the History Channel, folks. You know how many people watch the History Channel? You know how many people believe that everything that comes out of the History Channel is the 100% God's truth, no matter what it says? That's how my dad was. My dad was like that. My dad was a big History Channel guy, and he had watched all the Ancient Alien shows. And he told me, my dad said, man, Josh, I can't believe that they're talking about all this stuff on the History Channel. He's like, it's not that I don't believe it. I believe it probably longer than you have, but, you know, it just blows my mind because this is stuff you were talking about years ago, and here it is, it's on TV. And I said, well, that means they're getting ready to try and get people acclimated to believe something. They're getting ready. Something is either going to be revealed by accident or revealed by them, allowed to come out by them, one or the other. And again, this could, you know, if this comes out, and it indeed looks like it's going to, this would explain why they have the FEMA camps and why they have National Guard troops training, why they have foreign troops training to build bridges and run the infrastructure in the United States. That was Fort Leavenworth, like 2008, 2009. Yeah, they had British troops over there training how to build bridges and learning city street grids of America. Because it's going to throw it all into turmoil for a bit, but it's going to reset itself. And then once the ensuing chaos calms down, That's when the power players who have brought us to the point we are now with this depression, economic insanity, they're going to attempt to come in back in the ensuing chaos and then set up what indeed will be their new world order. That's what it is. Order out of chaos, order ab chao, Masonic creed. That's what they're going to do. So they allow these new things that question science and religion and show where both science is wrong and religion is wrong. Then they roll out a new religion, Scientology, that really aggregates and recognizes both science and religion and brings them together into one. This is where we're heading. That's why they're allowing this stuff to come out. Unbelievable story there. We talked about Monsanto yesterday being 77%, so their figures being 77%, up 77% now. But it seems there is some good news on the front of Monsanto today. Global agribusiness giant Monsanto is under federal investigation for using cash incentives to persuade distributors to use Roundup. The U.S.-based company has allegedly been offering distributors up to $20 per acre to use Roundup as well as Roundup-ready seeds, which have been genetically modified to resist the glyphosate-based herbicide. So they're getting, they're getting their asses sued now for this stuff. It's about time. It's not ever going to end if somebody doesn't try to at least do it at the low level somewhere. Update on Fort Calhoun up there in Nebraska. A new video coming out from YouTube. I'll drop a link to it in the chat room. Actually, I'll drop a, I've got the link to it. Apparently, they've got a 10-mile mandatory evacuation area now going around the nuclear plant there in Fort Calhoun. We had those wing nuts a couple of years ago that came out and said that aliens were messing with our nuclear power plants, and people just laughed it off and said, oh, ha, ha, ha. Well, you know, there might be some truth in that. A lot of people who've had experiences with extraterrestrials and these have described, you know, seeing being shown bombs going off and this kind of thing. I just found this. You know, with all these things we've heard about UFOs being seen around nuclear power plants, there was UFO seen over Chernobyl before it went meltdown. There were UFOs seen over Fukushima before it went meltdown. And so when I saw this story, it seemed odd to me in light of, you know, hearing those things in the past. Listen to this. A nuclear power station in eastern Scotland had to shut down its reactors after high volumes of jellyfish were found on its seawater filter screens, the operating company said on Thursday. Both units at the Torness Power Station were manually shut down on June 28 due to the high volumes of jellyfish fouling the cooling water screens. It's never happened before. They don't know how it happened, but just a swarm of jellyfish came in and was rendering their nuclear power plant useless, unable to work, unable to keep cool. This just seems highly coincidental now, doesn't it, ladies and gentlemen? It explained that the shutdown was purely a precautionary measure and insisted that at no time was there a danger to the public, nor had there been any impact on the environment. The nuclear regulator had also been informed. Reduced cooling water flows due to ingress from the jellyfish, seaweed, and other marine debris are considered as part of the station's safety case and are not an unknown phenomenon. Work was underway to clear the jellyfish from the waters near the power station, and staff were also monitoring the area for more jellyfish. Almost as if they're getting some alien signal or something to attack the jellyfish. Wasn't that in a movie, Sphere? I don't know. Was it? I really can't remember that movie. I just remember that movie sucked. Or at least I thought it did at the time. Maybe I should go back and watch it. Thank you there, Anon. Energy giant BP tried on Wednesday to put a positive spin on a new report that highlights the devastating impact of the Gulf of Mexico oil spill using their official Twitter account. It says that annual beach water report released today includes info on improved conditions since the BP oil spill, the company tweeted. But the report by the National Resources Defense Council said that there had been more than 9,474 oil-related beach closings, advisories, and notices in Gulf State since the spill and that the cleanup effort was still underway in Alabama, Louisiana, Florida, and Mississippi. So they continue to lie about that, say it's safe when it's absolutely not. This is not just about killing the whole Gulf itself and everything living in it, but killing anybody that lives near it and everything else. I mean, it's a massive, massive eugenics operation with more far-reaching implications than anybody will ever know about. Nobody will ever know what the impacts of this oil are going to be in food and in our water, and not just the oil, the dispersants they use on. It's a mass poisoning of the earth is what they committed down there. And everybody in it that was involved in this thing are murderers of the first degree, no question. TSA dismissed concerns about increased cancer diagnosis from body scanners. Not a surprise. Oh, they're safe. They're safe. No, they're good for you. Yeah. Going through a body scanner every day is as healthy for you as eating a whole stalk of broccoli. Yes, it's as good as a vegetarian diet. Go through our scanners. They're safe. They're good for you. They're like vitamins. You like vitamins? They're good for you. Documents obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request show that the Transportation Security Administration dismissed concerns from its employees about the radiation emitted by body imaging machines at airport security checkpoints. In an email sent to a TSA official in May 2010, the leader of a Boston-based TSA union said that a growing number of security officers have been diagnosed with cancer. To investigate the matter, she asked for dosimeter devices to monitor how much radiation the security officers were being exposed to. The officers would like these dosimeters to be periodically sent out to a non-TSA third-party medical facility for data results gathering, which could later be periodically released to our workforce. There were a variety of cancers reported among TSA employees, and they were among the most common types diagnosed in the United States, they said. No cases of thyroid cancer or leukemia were reported. So it's not only just people going through these, but the TSA workers themselves. They're training these scumbags to be scumbags for their power structure. And then they're making sure that they're around these body scanners, which give them cancer and kill them, so that later on down the road, if they decide to, quit the TSA and blow the whistle, well, they'll have cancer and die anyway, so they won't be blowing the whistle very long, you see. I mean, if you think that's not by design, you're out of your goddamn mind, not me, okay? Wake up! Let me tell you another thing. If you're another one of these, head in the goddamn sand ostriches out there, thinking that the public schools are not government training camps, you need to pull your head out of your ass right now. We'll wait. No, we'll wait. No, go and pull your head out your ass. Go on. We'll wait. Go ahead. Okay. Wipe the shit off your ears. Yeah, there you go. Here, you need a wet wipe here. Yeah, you got a little on your nose. Get it off. Okay. Got your head out of your ass now. Shit's all cleaned off. You ready for this? Okay. Public schools, government training camps. Want proof? Listen to this. First of all, let me preface this. Every day when I look at news and I'm gathering my news, I mean, you see some crazy shit every day. But every now and again, you just get grabbed by the short and curlies by a news item that's not at the top of the page of the news site you're looking at. Be it Drudge Report or Raw Story or, Associated Press, whatever it may be. All that stuff at the top is like, Jon Stewart makes fun of Obama. I don't give a fuck. Since when do these people like Jon Stewart and that other fucking Jew clown, whatever his name is, Stephen Colbert, since when are these guys like these celebrities like political pundits now? It's just retarded. Anyway, at the very bottom of the news site I got this from, I see this.
Three students die after being hypnotized by the principal. What? Three students are dead after being hypnotized by their principal? Listen to this, man. This is just one case. These people, these educators, these principals, I don't know what they do when they send them to these teacher workshops, man, but these people are trained to be fucking hypnotists and brainwashers. Three Florida high school students are dead after being hypnotized by their school principal in Sarasota, Florida. One in a car accident and two by suicide. Jesus Christ. Principal George Kenney is believed to have hypnotized up to 75 people, including students, members of the school staff, and their children. Why is this not at the front headline news? Because these motherfuckers are being trained to do this. We're just now hearing about it. And I've been called crazy my whole life for trying to tell people this stuff. This is just, I mean, I got to tell you, this story, man, really just, it's proof that this is going on everywhere. These guys are trained to be brainwashers. Sarasota County District School District officials repeatedly warned Kenny to stop the practice. So they knew this shit was going on. There you go. That's an admission of guilt. Sorry. Well, we warned him to stop. Yeah, but you didn't stop him. And he did it to 75 people and three are dead. As far as I'm concerned, the school district is just as guilty as this guy is. They should be held responsible for the deaths of those three people because they knew about it. They said right there, we warned him, but he didn't stop. As soon as you knew somebody was hypnotizing people, especially, you know, you should have yanked this clown out of there as soon as anybody died. How many corpses is it going to take? They repeatedly warned Kenny to stop the practice, which the principal insists was only done in the interest of helping students to be motivated and focus on schoolwork and sports. Excuse me? You are trying to hypnotize these students and members of the school staff and their children to be motivated and focused on schoolwork and sports? I don't know what your definition of a cult is, but that pretty much sounds like a cult and mind control to me, folks. And, you know, this is not the first time this has happened. You can bet your ass. It's probably happening and happened way more places. It's just unbelievable. We have people that are using the negative elements of the spirit world to gain power. And then telling us that spiritual things and magic and whatever have you and all this stuff and is all, you know, evil, satanic devil worship. Meanwhile, yeah, they tell you it's all evil, satanic devil worship so you won't get in and find out how to use it for good, not evil, like they have and threaten their game. I'd heard from all the CMP types, you know, before I found out about the CMP in 2007, I'd heard from Stan Monteith and all those guys, oh, satanic is, Freemasonry is satanic Luciferian devil worship. You never hear them say anything about the Knights of Malta. You never hear them say anything about Jesuits. And then I went to try to prove that they're satanic devil worshipers and all this stuff. And it's nowhere even in anything Masonic does ever say they use any of this stuff is ever to be used for evil purposes. But when the custodians, the bloodlines, reclaimed and took over the secret societies for themselves, using the Vatican to do it, that's when they had made all of this ancient knowledge and ancient spiritual teachings, and when they corrupted it and made it to be used for exclusively evil. That's why we have to reclaim it, because it's ours. And again, as I've said many times over the past few weeks, that's where the fight is. That's what we have to do. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to get into reading from Lost Book of Enki again tonight. If you have any emails you'd like to get in, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. This is the Global Reality, folks. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight, and glad you could join us. Thanks for staying up late with us. We're going to be getting into, I think I might have a couple of more stories here. Yeah, just a few. And then we're going to be reading out of the Lost Book of Enki again for you here tonight, picking up where we left last night. Interesting stuff there. So glad you could join us. My website, again, where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. It's www.theglobalreality.com. And up there at the website, we have a chip-in banner and we have a donate button. And the donate button, if you want to donate different amounts or larger amounts that go towards helping us buy new equipment and helping us, you know, not just strictly for paying bills. And we haven't gotten any help in that area in quite some time. Everything we've gotten in pretty much has gone towards the bills. But if you want to help out in any other ways, for us to help to grow bigger and buy more equipment, things like that, you can use the donate button for that. We have the chip-in banner there, and we have to meet that goal by tomorrow. So I'm just asking everybody if you can please band together and help us reach that goal and get there by tomorrow. That would be super duper, and we'll be able to continue on. If not, we're going to be in a red alert situation. I don't want us to have to get that far. So please help us out if you can. TheGlobalReality.com, that's where you do it at. Let's see here. Okay, back earlier in the year when the Super Bowl was held in Dallas, I had talked about the city of Arlington and Dallas getting all these Department of Homeland Security grants to get all this, you know, technology, surveillance technology, drones, that kind of thing. And they, you know, they said, oh, well, you know, we're just bringing it here. We're not going to use it, you know, unless we have to. If we don't have to use it, then, you know, we'll just send it back. And I said, bull pucky, they'll end up saying, oh, well, it's already here, so why send it back? We'll just use it. And again, as we already knew, I was, of course, right about that yet again. Here it is from CBS DFW. Arlington testing unmanned helicopters for fighting crime. I already told my friends, hey, man, you see one of these over your house, just go outside and shoot it. Shoot it down. Fuck it. Oh, you can't do that. You know, well, boy, you'll get arrested. Well, maybe. But they're also going to have to prove why they're flying one of these things over your property without a warrant. So, I mean, if it's unmanned, shoot it down. Fuck it. You know, if it's on your property, man, if it's in your area, just your property, you have every right. It'd be up to them to prove that they have a right to have that thing there. Because, you know, I mean, it's just unbelievable. Weighing just over 10 pounds, a small remote helicopter looks like a toy, but the Arlington Police Department has some serious plans for it. We can use it to reconstruct a crime scene, reconstruct an accident scene. We can use it for search and rescue. We can use it to fly over and look for grow lights in your window at your house. Oh, no, we would never use it for that. That would be an invasion of privacy. The Arlington Police Department had the unmanned aircraft on standby as part of the Super Bowl security. Now it wants to buy them. The FAA has granted the city special permission to test them out. In fact, Arlington is now one of only two cities to get the limited approval to evaluate the robotic helicopters. The other is Miami. So that probably tells you, I guess, Miami and the Dallas area are going to be two big concentration camp cities. I had somebody say, somebody joke with me one time. You know, this guy, every time he'd say goodbye to you. He'd say, all right, see you later. I'll see you in the FEMA camp. I always hated that joke. Now, you ain't going to see me there, motherfucker. I ain't going. I don't know what your plans are. If you plan on, you know, giving in and going to one, fine, that's your business. Don't involve me in it. Ain't going to see me there. Good luck with that. Hey, did you guys hear this? Charlie Sheen admitted that he used steroids in Major League. You ever seen that picture of Alex Jones when he was in high school where he's like flexing his muscles? Beefcake picture. Well, all I got to say is this. You look at that picture of Jones, you read that story about Charlie, you figure, well, they do have a lot in common now, don't they? Yeah. Uh-huh. Probably why Jones has got little man syndrome so bad. Fox, I'm angry because I just ruined to my nan's swallow up, Fox. First death in Minnesota from Powassan virus, some sort of new tick-borne virus that you need to be aware about. This very well could be something originating from a bioweapons lab, as we've talked about many times here before on the show. The first death related to the Powassan virus was recorded in Minnesota Wednesday, according to a release by the Minnesota Department of Health. The victim was a northern Minnesota woman in her 60s. Another likely Powassan case was identified in Anoka County this year, and a man also in his 60s. Both the female and male cases became ill in May after spending time outdoors and noticing tick bites. The Powassan virus is transmitted by black-legged or deer ticks in Minnesota and Wisconsin. They both developed brain infections due to the virus. While the female passed away from the infection, the male was hospitalized and is now recovering at home. The Powassan virus was first identified in 1958 in Powassan, Ontario. Since that time, about 60 cases have been identified in North America. The virus was mostly seen in eastern Canada and the northeastern United States until the last decade when cases were reported in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota. Locally, Powassan-infected ticks have been found in Houston County and the heavily forested hardwood areas southeastern of Minnesota and western Wisconsin after a good home to ticks that can carry the virus. These infections involve inflammation of the brain and the lining of the brain and spinal cord. And this just came out of nowhere. Yeah, 1958, well after we know they started initiating biological weapons tests against human populations. Well after. The inflammation of the brain, I mean, just in this never in recorded history, it ever came about until 1958. Yeah. You tell me it's not man-made, good luck with that. Oh, yeah, I meant to tell you guys. I completely forgot about this. I should have told you guys this at the beginning of the show tonight. Coming up next week, July 6th, Wednesday, July 6th, which, by the way, subsequently is also my 35th birthday. Guess who's got a birthday? Hell, yeah. Coming up next Wednesday, I'll be 35. You want to send me a donation birthday present, please do so. I could use it right now. Also that day, good birthday present for me that day is going to be this, though. 12 noon that day, I'm going to be taping my two-hour interview, 1 hour for the regular listeners and another hour for the subscribers. Two-hour interview that will be played on Red Ice Radio with Henrik Palmgren. So we had that... planned on doing that, and then I had the deaths of my family, so we weren't able to do it, but they understood and told them what was going on, and they asked me to come back on, so that's where we're going to be doing it. So we're going to be talking about the Council for National Policy. I plan on taking these guys down the rabbit hole, man. I'm gonna do my best and represent and lay out just two hardcore hours of information on the CMP, take them down the rabbit hole, plan on the first hour to be, you know, kind of a refresher, go over all the CMP stuff, and the second hour get heavy into maybe some of the deeper stuff, how it ties into the bloodlines, how it ties into the ancient extraterrestrials and the whole stuff we kind of been talking about more recently. So I think it's going to be an awesome show, man. I'm going to go on there, and I'm going to do my best to represent this broadcast and represent what we're all into and hopefully reach a lot more people. That show has a huge reach. That's a big jump for me. I think this can really propel our show and our work and what we're trying to do here. I'm extremely proud of all of you out there, all the listeners. It's all because of you. You guys have been sending Red Eyes emails for 2 fucking years, begging them, pleading them. A lot of people out there may not know that, but my listeners initiated this. This is not as a result of me trying to get on there or anything, although I did express an interest to my audience that, yeah, I would love to go on there, you know, of course. But my listeners really... came through and sent a lot of emails, tons of emails. I mean, they got flooded, man. So I think they really didn't have, I just don't think you guys gave them a choice anymore. You know, you guys were saying, look, you got to have him on. And I agree because, I mean, dude, I've heard some stuff on Red Eyes before that's been, oh my goodness, bad stuff. Just, you know, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff on there too, but I'm totally excited about that, man. I think it's going to be a great opportunity to kind of set the record straight for a lot of people who have been reluctant about the Council for National Policy information or stuff relating to Alex Jones or anything else, thinking that it's some sort of divide and conquer tactic instead of looking at it for what it really is, and what it really is the truth, unfortunately, you know. But I think it's going to be good. So you guys all send your positive energy my way. I hope it'll go well. I think it's going to go well. I think I'm going to knock it out of the park. I do really good in those situations for some reason. Interview situations when I'm interviewed, I do better at that sometimes than just doing my show, you know, when somebody else is kind of guiding the flow of it. But yeah, it should be fun. Let's see here. Let's get into where we left off last night of the Lost Book of Enki here. The last thing that we read, Heroes of Nibiru, you are the saviors. The fate of all is in your hands. That's where we left off last night. So we're going to pick up here on page 111 tonight, the Lost Book of Enki. Let's just jump right into it. Your success shall for eternity be recorded by glorious names you shall be called. Those who on earth are shall... Excuse me. Those who are on earth shall now be known as the Anunnaki. Those who from heaven to earth came. Those who are on Lamu are Igigi and shall be named. Those who observe and shall see, they shall be. All that is required is ready. Let the gold start coming. Let Nibiru be saved. Now, this is the account of Enki, Enlil, and Ninma. So this is actually where we left off last night. I just want to back it up a little bit. Their loves and espousals, and by their sons, their rivalries. The offspring of Anu were the three leaders, and they were all born by different mothers. Enki was the firstborn son. A concubine of Anu was his mother. Enlil was born by Antu, the spouse of Anu, who was born the legal heir he became. Ninma was born by another concubine, a half-sister of the two brothers she was. The firstborn daughter of Anu she was. By her title name Ninma, this was indicated. Greatly beautiful she was, full of wisdom, one quick to learn. Ea, as Enki then was named. See, they clarify that for you. Ea was Enki was called Ea back then. And later on, as you're reading this, I talked about this last night, you'll hear them, they'll be calling him Enki, but when they're on Earth, Enlil will address Enki as Ea sometimes. It's like a nickname. You know how sometimes somebody's name will be Frank or John or David, and some families will just name that kid Bubba? I mean, I don't know if a lot of you are from, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's just a Southern thing from where I'm from down here in Redneckville, but where I come from, people do that, you know. Hey, Bubba. Hey, Bubba, get over here, Bubba. And they'll just call him Bubba's. And it's kind of, that's what it is, you know. So he refers to Enki as Ea. That's kind of like a childhood name. As Enki was then named by Anu to espouse Ninma was chosen. And thereby their offspring would be the legal successor to the throne of Nibiru. Ninma of Enlil, a dashing commander, was enamored. Oh, this is going to get into the incest is the best. Put your sister to the test stuff, isn't it? By him she was seduced. Into her womb he poured his seed. Uh-oh. I thought we had another thing where it said something about not pouring the seed into their womb. Uh-oh, he poured it. Uh-oh, he poured the seed in her. Ah! God, I just poured my seed in you, baby. And try saying that to your woman next time you're doing your business. Probably wind up with a snipped penis. A son from Enlil's seed she bore, and Inerta, the two have named him. Anu was angered by the deed. The deed, the dirty deed. Yeah, baby. As punishment, he forbade Ninma to ever be the spouse of Enlil. And made her be Iazwa. Oh, that's fucked up. So, Ea, his bride-to-be, by Anu's decree, abandoned a princess named Damkina he instead espoused. Okay. A son in heir to them was born. Marduk, they named him. One in a pure pace born it meant. As for Enlil, a son not by espousal he had, a spouse by his side he did not have. It was on earth, not Nibiru, that Enlil found a wife. Ah, there you go. Okay. So they're on Nibiru, and they're kind of passing out wives and setting up who's going to be with who to continue the bloodline. But then it says here it wasn't on Nibiru that Enlil became espoused, meaning Enlil found and acquired a spouse. he acquired a spouse on earth. So this must have been the what the Bible talks about with the Nephilim and mating with the daughters of man. And Lil, you know, got down there and did some banging and created mankind and said, oh, we got a slave race. But unfortunately, because these folks who we're talking about here, obviously, if they're talking about the succession of their bloodlines, it's pretty clear these people weren't slaves, right? No, we're not talking about... So it was the arrogance of these, you know, royal genetic seed bloodline Anunnaki, it was their arrogance to believe that they could create a slave race using their own DNA that would want to be or would be okay with their enslavement. It is not in our DNA to be enslaved. That's why it is natural to rebel against your slavery. Spiritual slavery, money slavery, job slavery, whatever it may be, relationship slavery. It is not within our construct to be enslaved. We didn't come from that. That's why we feel the need to break free from it. But they'll tell you you're crazy if you don't want to go along with it and be a good slave. The account is one of rape and exile, a love that brought forgiveness, and of more sons that were only half-brothers. On earth it was summer. To his abode in the cedar forest in Lil retreated. In the cedar forest in Lil was walking in the cool of the day. In a cool mountain stream, some of Ninma's young ones that were assigned to the landing place were bathing. By the beauty and grace of one, Sud was her name, Enlil was enchanted. To his cedarwood abode, Enlil invited her. Oh, it's getting hot now. Oh, yeah. Here we go. We're going to get into some hot, hot Sumerian texts for you tonight here. Oh, yeah. It's going to get hot. To his cedarwood abode, Enlil invited her. Come partake with me in the elixir of Nibiru's fruit that grew here. To her, he said. Sud entered Enlil's abode, and he gave her a cup of elixir. Oh, what's in that elixir? Sud drank, and Enlil drank it too. To her, Enlil, of intercourse he was speaking. Oh, shit! Enlil is a pimp! P-I-M-P! The dude doesn't waste any time. So he rolls up on and sees this chick playing in the water. He ain't there 2 seconds. He's already inviting her back to the wooden cedarwood abode. He hands her a cup of an elixir, and she doesn't even take more than a couple sips off this, and dude's standing over there with his cock out. Well, what do you think about it, baby? Are we going to have intercourse or what? Jesus Christ, slow down, dude. You know? We get to know each other first before you go right into just, bam, cock is just out. No wonder humans are a bunch of fuck crazy maniacs. You know, all we do is, can I fuck it? No. Can I eat it? No. Can I kill it? No. Then I'm bored with it. Fuck it. I mean, seriously. No wonder we want to fuck everything that moves. We were created by a bunch of horny maniacs. We wonder why there's fucking 500 trillion of us on this planet. My God. The people that created us were fucking all the time. What do you think we want to fuck all the time? When we look at, oh my God, we have to have eugenics. We have to kill us. There's so many of us. Well, my God, well, maybe go talk to your bloodline ancestors about that then, Rockefeller. Fuck. This guy gives her a sip of some drink, man. She didn't get 2 drinks down. He's like, oh, wow, look. Now listen to this. Listen to what she says. I'm not kidding you. You can get a copy of this book. I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to be perverted. This is what it says. So he was talking about intercourse, and it says, unwilling was the lass. Aye, unwilling was the lass. What is this, written by a fucking drunken Irishman? Aye. And Lil was speaking of intercourse, but aye, unwilling was the lass. It's a bunch of pirates. Pirate aliens. And I'm not kidding you. This is what she says. She says,
My vagina is too little. It knows not copulation. To Enlil, she was saying. So she said her vagina is too tight. It knows not copulation. So she's never been penetrated. And, oh, so he's like, oh, so he's, you know, he's totally, you know, like wanting it bad now. He's like, oh, shit, you're a virgin too? Fuck. Oh, man, I'm good. Damn it. I saw you swimming around over there. Ain't shit, I move fast, but damn. Doing her and Lil was kissing and was speaking. Unwilling still was the loss. My lips are too small. They know not kissing. And Lil laughed and embraced her.
Stop Satan's cock. Get that big scaly worm pecker down your gullet, baby. You're going to like it. Oh, yeah. Oh, kiss it. Yes. Oh, that's what I like. Oh, Enlil likes that. You didn't know that Enlil was also Lucifer, did you? Suck Satan's cock, baby.
He's semen poured into her womb. This is dirty. Triple X Sumerian text. No wonder they don't want us reading this stuff. 5,000-year-old porn etched into rocks. Who knew, right? I sure as fuck didn't. That's what I'm saying. You get these letters from people all the time. Can you not cuss on your show? I want to allow my little kids to listen to it. This is an NC-17 show here for that reason. Because I, you know, if I would have been reading this on air on some, you know, FM station or something, you know, or somewhere where I couldn't cuss, you know, I mean, that wouldn't have been my fault. I didn't know all this stuff was in there. Literally, I mean, this is talking about my pussy lips are too tight and pouring semen into the womb. I mean, I didn't have any idea any of this stuff was in there. You know, I'm sorry. I know I'm so there's people out there that want to allow their kids to hear this information, but you know, sometimes you gotta let kids be kids, you know. I mean, get them. I understand it's important also. You want to start teaching these kids at a young age, but I'm just saying, man, sometimes this stuff gets into dirty territory. And it's not necessarily just me, you know, up here ranting and raving and using cuss words all the time. My goodness. I mean, every other page, somebody's pouring womb and semen into somebody's womb, or like the other night, biting somebody's cock off and then puking up blood, and there's, you know, tight vag and stuff in here. This shit is fucking filthy. But guess what? You know what? You know what's funny about it all?
This is where all the teachings of the Lord came from. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, it is.
Yeah. That's why they're trying to tell you, you know, oh, sex is sin and the devil. Don't have sex. That's why they do that. That's why those Christians do that. Oh, you know, oh, it's of the devil. Yeah, because they don't want you to know where we came from. I mean, everybody knew our ancestors were a bunch of, you know, fuck crazy maniacs just going through the galaxy, fucking everything you get their hands on. Look down there. They got some life forms. Let's see if we can go down there and fuck them. Take me to your leader. We are here to fuck your women. You know? I mean, we're just horny guys just flying around in sky chariots going down and going, yes, we're gods. Yes, yes, bow to us. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a god. Yes, I am your god. And never do anything that says anything bad about your god. Always make sure that your god comes first. Don't have sex. Don't do anything like that. No. Do you have anything I could fuck, by the way? Thanks. Yes, I am your god, bow to me. Now give me something to fuck. That's pretty much what these guys, sounds like these guys went around doing. I mean, it's totally out of control. This is just filthy. To Ninma, Sud's commander, the immoral deed was reported. Enlil, immoral one, for your deed judgment you shall face. So did Ninma to Enlil in anger say, in the presence of 50 Anunnaki, 7 who judge were assembled. 7 who judge on Enlil a punishment decreed. Let Enlil from all cities be banished to a land of no return. Let him be exiled. In a sky chamber, they made Enlil leave the landing place. Abgal was his pilot. To a land of no return, Enlil was taken, never to return. Well, that's why they call it the fucking land of no return, isn't it? But you don't return from it, idiots. My God, a little editing, please. You guys are etching this out on fucking, you know, clay tablets and shit, and you had time to repeat yourselves? I mean, you had room to repeat yourselves? Wow. In the sky chamber, the two of them journeyed to another land was their direction. There, amidst forbidding mountains, at a place of desolation, Abgal, the sky chamber, landed. This, your place of exiles, shall be, Abgal to Enlil was saying. Not perchance have I chosen it, to Enlil, he was saying. A secret of Enki in it is hidden. In the nearby cave, Enki, seven weapons of terror has hidden. Also, he hid seven nuclear weapons in there. Oh, that was smart. This guy's going around banging your half-sister, getting her pregnant, and, you know, you want to give him nuclear weapons? Again, you know, we have to start coming to grips with the fact that it could be possible the people that we think are gods were very smart. You know, just as dumb and irrational and as any of our elite leaders are today, it sounds like, doesn't it? Kind of bumbling their way through things. Everything's new. That's why it seems that the spirit world is so much more removed from that reality. Because we're still talking about the physical plane here. But now that we get into the stuff where, you know, these people have the technology to manipulate that as well, it's a totally different thing. From Alalu's celestial chariot, he had them removed. Take the weapons into your possession. With the weapons, you will attain your freedom. So was Abigail to his commander, saying, a secret of Enki to Enlil he did reveal. Then Abigail departed from the secret place, and Enlil was alone left there. In the Eden Sud to Ninma, her commander's words were speaking. By Enlil's seed, I am pregnant. A child of Enlil in my womb has been conceived. Ninma Sud's words to Enki conveyed, the lord of the earth he was. On earth, he was supreme. They summoned Sud before seven who judge. Will you take Enlil as your spouse? They asked her. She said yes. To espouse Sud Enlil from his exile was returned by that. Enki and Ninma to him gave a pardon. So they pardoned him and allowed him to come to earth. Enlil's official spouse was Sud. It was declared her name title to be Ninlil, Lady of the Command she was bestowed. Thereafter to Ninlil and Enlil, a son was born, Nannar, the Bright One. Ninlil named him. He was the first of the Anunnaki on earth to be conceived. One of Nibiru's royal seed on an alien planet was born. It was after that Enki to Ninma was speaking, come be with me in the Abzu. In the midst of the Abzu, in a place of pure waters, an abode I have established. With a bright metal, silver is its name. It is embellished. With a deep blue stone, lapis lazuli, it is adorned. Come, Ninma, be with me. Your adoration of Enlil to be abandoned. So he's saying, okay, now you've banged my brother. You shit out one of his kids. Now, you know, make it fair. And let's get some double incest going on over here and come back to my boat. Let me hit it too and, you know, pour the royal water in you and we'll just have us a whole little clusterfuck here. No wonder the people that run our planet are sick, incestuous, inbreeding bastards. Sounds like that's what these fuckers were. No wonder our elite interbreed and do all this stuff. My God, this is why. That's why everything in our realm on this earth is a blueprint that was taken and done somewhere else on another planet and transplanted here. Again, that's the answer to the question of why humans are the only thing on this planet that just doesn't fit. Because we were planted here by a bunch of fucking inbred, disgusting idiots, it sounds like. No wonder we got a bunch of inbred, disgusting idiots running this planet. Hello? Everybody figure that out now? My goodness. I'm glad we figured that out. I'm glad we now know where the source of this comes from. It all makes sense to me now. No wonder these fuckers are like this. Sick. Enlil spoke loving words to her of how he intended, of what he intended for her. He spoke sweet words. "You are still my beloved," he said to her. He embraced her and kissed her, and she caused his phallus to water. She caused his phallus to Oh, shit. He starts like, oh, fuck, stuff's coming out of it. We haven't even done anything yet. Oh, my God. Enki, his semen into the womb of Nimma poured. "Give me a son. Give me a son," he cried out. Damn, that's fucked up. Like, this dude's like, you know, pounding away and like he's rolling dice or something, you know? "Give me a son. Give me a son. Bet I'll six. Bet I'll six." You know? Fuck, you rolling dice over there, dude? These people are fucked up. She took the semen into her womb. The semen of Enki impregnated her. Pastor Hage. One day of Nibiru was a month of Earth time for her. 2 days, 3 days, 4 days of Nibiru, like months of Earth they were. 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 days of month were completed. The ninth count of motherhood was completed. Nenma was in travail. To a child she gave birth. The newborn was a female. On the banks of the river in the Abzu, a daughter to Enki and Nenma was born. Enki, by a daughter, was disappointed. "Kiss the young one," to him, Nenma said. "Kiss the young one." Enki, to his vizier Ismid, said, "I desired a son. A son by my half-sister I must have." Again, he kissed Nenma by her loins and grabbed her. His semen into her womb. Again, he poured. God damn, he didn't even wait. She just shits one out. He walks over there and goes, "I wanted a son." You gotta wait a little while, dude. You can't just go sticking it in there right after she popped one out. Again, these are some dumb motherfuckers that created us. You gotta wait, dude. Again, she was with child, and again, a daughter to Enki she bore. A son by you I must have. Enki cried out to her again. Nenma, he kissed again. Thereupon, Nenma against Enki, a cursing tittered. Whatever food he ate was poison in his innards. His jaw hurt. His tooth hurt. His ribs were hurting. Izimud the Anunnaki summoned to Nenma for relief, they were pleading. To distance himself from Ninma's vulva, Enki was raised. He raised his arm and swore. One by one, she and his ailments removed from his curse. Enki was freed. So he started like going after the vag again. And she had to stole cold-blooded put a damn curse on his ass to keep her away from the vag. Make him sick so he wouldn't want it. Damn, dude, that's hardcore. Ninki, Lady of the Earth, the title was given to the child. By her and her concubines, Enki had 5 more sons. These were their names. Nergal and Gibal, Ningal and Ningshadiza and Dumuzi was the youngest. To Earth, Enlil and Enma, their son Ninurta summoned. By his spouse Ninlil, did Enlil one more son have? To Nannar, a full brother. Ishkur was his name. 3 sons in all did Enlil have. None by concubines were they born. 2 clans were thus on Earth established. Their rivalries to wars did lead. So what that means is that, and this is really a very proper explanation of something I've had a question about for a very long time here. Enki ended up having all these sons, but it says in this last statement here that the two clans were thus on Earth established, and their rivalries led to wars. So they established two clans on Earth that were both based on Enlil and Enki's family. This was the same family. They created one tribe over here. Another tribe over here didn't tell them they were family and then pitted them against each other, and this led to wars. So this, again, this is proof that they've been pitting us against each other, man against man, family against family, since time immemorial. And why would they do this? They had to do this to set up a culture of war, a culture that established itself on that so that they could control it. That's unbelievable to me. So, and that makes so much more sense. This is why the elite have tried to wipe out these certain bloodlines in the Middle East, the Arabic bloodlines in Iraq and Sumer, because supposedly there are people there that still have this royal blood in their systems, and the elite for some reason see it as a threat to them. Because if some of these people that are descendants of these original Anunnaki of the Semitic Arabic bloodlines, they would be a challenge to the power structure. That's why this genocide in Iraq and the Middle East, folks, that's the real reason behind it. There's something there in those bloodlines that the elite's afraid of. They see it as a threat to their power. Unbelievable stuff. Well, this starts next with the account of the mutiny of Agigi. And I think Agigi, I can't remember what planet that said that was. It's one of the planets, Jupiter or Mars or something, but we'll pick up on that next time. We're going to leave off there here for tonight. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show and being here with us. We have our chipping banner. We have to reach the goal by Friday, folks, so we can pay the bills. We need to get the rest of the way there. So please help us meet that goal so we can pay the bills and don't get into any red alert situations, folks. TheGlobalReality.com. Use the chipping banner. Use the donate button if you want to help us out. And a lot of times once we pay bills, we don't have anything left to eat or do anything at all. So if you end up going over the chipping amount, that's okay. My name is Josh Reeves. I love each and every one of you, and we'll see you next time, guys. You have a great night. Take care.